Today is Thursday, August 20th. We're talking about the big takeaways from the DNC as we head into the final night, why government officials are looking at sewage for insights about COVID-19 outbreaks, and an update on the out-of-control wildfires in the West. Plus, new policies impacting children's vaccinations. Apple breaks another record. And what's next for the animal park made famous in Tiger King? Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Well, tonight is the main event of the Democratic National Convention. Former Vice President Joe Biden will formally accept the nomination for president. Biden will give his acceptance speech from his hometown of Wilmington, Delaware. His team says he'll talk about his vision for uniting America and moving the country out of chaos and crisis. Already on the third night, last night, Senator Kamala Harris formally accepted the vice presidential nomination, officially making her the first Black woman and first Indian American in history to hold that position. In her speech, she talked about her goal of creating a more inclusive country alongside her running mate Joe Biden. Former President Obama also spoke last night from the Museum of the American Revolution in Philadelphia. He talked about his former vice president by saying Biden, quote, made me a better president, and he's got the character and the experience to make us a better country. They all urged those watching to get out and vote. And next week, the focus will shift to the Republican National Convention. We now know speakers next week will include people like former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, a man whose son was killed when a gunman opened fire at a Parkland, Florida high school, at least one prominent anti-abortion activist, and criminal justice reform advocate Alice Johnson, who was let out of prison after Kim Kardashian worked with the president to commute her sentence 2 years ago. And of course, President Trump will speak from the White House. Teams of federal and local authorities have now made nearly 1,500 arrests so far under Operation Legend. That's the national crackdown on violent crime that started just more than a month ago in 9 American cities. Attorney General William Barr gave an update yesterday saying 90 murder suspects were arrested during this. In fact, just last week, authorities in Kansas City announced they arrested someone for killing Legend Taliaferro. He's the 4-year-old boy the effort was named after. In addition to the arrests, Operation Legend led to almost 400 guns being seized in cities like Chicago, Cleveland, and St. Louis, and the federal government has promised to stop drug trafficking as well. A series of wildfires in Northern California has now destroyed dozens of homes and forced thousands of evacuations. In fact, the San Francisco Chronicle reports there were some frantic rescues into the night. The group of several fires is west of Sacramento, and they apparently doubled in size throughout the day yesterday and threatened 25,000 buildings in wine country. They're also filling the air in San Francisco with ash and smoke. Fire officials are calling it extreme fire behavior. There are more than 350 fires now burning in Northern California, and many were likely sparked by what's being called a historic amount of lightning strikes. Other states like Arizona, Nevada, and Texas have sent firefighters and other resources to help, and they're all working in extreme heat. The southern and western parts of the U.S. are still facing the brunt of the coronavirus pandemic. Per capita, Georgia is the state reporting the most COVID-19 cases per day over a 7-day average. The specific number is more than 200 cases per 100,000 people. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution got a hold of a new White House Coronavirus Task Force report, and it says the state should do more to fight the virus. Specifically, it says Georgia should close bars and gyms, impose a statewide mask mandate, and limit social gatherings to 10 people or fewer. Georgia's governor has said it's up to the people, not the government, to make the right decisions for themselves and their families, though his office is still encouraging mask wearing and social distancing. Just after Georgia, the states facing the most new cases per capita are Texas and then Florida. But it's important to note, even though there are more new cases in those three states than anywhere else, things are actually improving from a peak a couple of weeks ago. It seems the positivity rate for new tests is going down. And hopefully it stays that way. School districts in both Florida and Texas started the fall school year with in-person classes this week. Georgia's schools reopened earlier this month. Public health officials are going to great lengths to study this virus and get it under control. The CDC and other federal agencies will start looking at sewage samples from around the country. And that's because studies have shown the virus can be found in human waste from people who are sick, even if they don't have any obvious symptoms. And since about 80% of U.S. homes are connected to some kind of municipal sewer system, this could become a tool to track the spread of COVID-19 across the nation. The federal government is now teaming up with local health departments to do the dirty work. All right, so instead of a sponsor today, I want to take a quick break to ask a little favor. I would love to use my birthday weekend this weekend as an excuse to get to see you listening to The Newsworthy. So take a picture of yourself listening to the show, or at least take a screenshot on your phone while it's playing, and then post it to Instagram or other social media sites and tag us. We're at NewsworthyPod. I did this last year, and it was so fun to get to connect with all of the listeners and see you listening, so I can't resist doing it again. I'm going to mention this tomorrow as well, but again, just post a selfie or a screenshot to Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook and include why you love The Newsworthy, and then tag us at NewsworthyPod so we can see it. Of course, whether or not you take part in this, thank you so much for being here, for tuning in each day, and supporting the show. Keeping you informed is why we're here. All right, now back to the news. Pharmacists in all 50 states can now give children routine vaccinations. The Health and Human Services Department made the announcement this week, saying the new policy can help prevent vaccination rates from falling during the pandemic. Until now, pharmacists could only give kids shots in 28 states. And even where it was allowed, it was rare for children to get vaccinated anywhere other than a doctor's office. But since late March, the CDC has reported that fewer children have been getting their regular shots. And that could be because parents are worried about their kids catching COVID-19 just by going into a doctor's office. So the federal government hopes this new rule will help ease fears and prevent future outbreaks of measles and other diseases. It's important to note, though, pharmacists will still only be able to give shots to kids older than 3 years old. Babies and toddlers will still have to go to their pediatricians or family doctors as usual. Facebook is the latest social media company to restrict the conspiracy movement QAnon. Remember, that's the idea there's a secret plot against President Trump and that there's a large child sex trafficking ring within the U.S. government. It's been debunked by the FBI, but it's still circulating on social media. In fact, NPR reports the FBI classified QAnon as a domestic terrorism threat last year. Now Facebook says it removed nearly 800 QAnon groups because they apparently celebrated violence, showed intent to use weapons, or attracted followers with patterns of violent behavior. Still, Facebook is allowing nearly 2,000 other QAnon groups to stay, but with restrictions. Facebook is not the first company to crack down, though. Last month, Twitter also removed thousands of accounts that spread the theory. Airbnb has filed to go public, although for now the filing is confidential. Still, it starts the process of allowing everyday investors to buy shares in the company for the first time. There aren't a lot of details about what the public offering will look like yet, such as share price, but the Wall Street Journal reports the home sharing company is valued at $18 billion, about half of what it was back in 2017. Meanwhile, Apple hit another big milestone. It has now become the first American company to be valued at $2 trillion. Its market cap actually doubled in just over 2 years. In August of 2018, we reported when Apple was the first U.S. company ever to be valued at $1 trillion. And Apple's business has been surging even more lately, despite the pandemic's effect on many other sectors of the economy. In fact, Apple shares soared 60% this year. The only other company in the world that's ever hit the $2 trillion mark was Saudi Arabia's Aramco. But Aramco has slipped lately, so Apple is now officially the world's most valuable publicly traded company. Empty sporting arenas, stadiums, and ballparks could be transformed into giant polling places this fall. At least 12 professional sports teams and their venues are reportedly preparing to open their doors to allow socially distanced voting. The nonpartisan Election Supercenters Project is behind this idea, and it thinks at least 25 locations will likely be on board by next week. It's in talks with baseball, basketball, football, and hockey teams around the country, though they're still running into a couple of issues. For example, there's a dire shortage of poll workers this year, likely because many are worried about their health. So organizers hope thousands of furloughed stadium employees will be recruited and trained to run the new arena polling sites. If you are interested in working at the polls on Election Day, we've posted a link in today's show notes with more information. The Roadside Zoo, made famous by Netflix's Tiger King docuseries, is closing its doors for good. The USDA suspended the Oklahoma Zoo's exhibitor license, and now it seems the new owner will not be trying to get it back. Instead, Jeff Lowe wrote on Facebook that the exotic animal park is closed, effective immediately. USDA inspectors reportedly found several animal welfare violations at the zoo. TMZ reports some of the animals appeared weak and neglected. If you're not familiar with the backstory to all of this, the zoo was previously owned by Joe Exotic. The Tiger King docuseries mostly focused on Exotic's feud with animal activist Carol Baskin and a murder-for-hire plot. Well, now the new owner, Jeff Lowe, says his park will be used as a private film set for the Tiger King scripted series that's in the works. Deadline says famous actors like Nicolas Cage, Rob Lowe, and Kate McKinnon have already signed on. And that's it for the main 10 minutes of news today, but now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday. And today we're talking about something you've probably heard a lot about during the Democratic National Convention this week, and that's delegates. Simply put, a delegate is considered a pledged voter who attends their national party's convention to vote on who will become the presidential nominee. So just this week, we saw the delegates for the Democrats vote to nominate Joe Biden. And next week, delegates will re-nominate President Trump. Delegates come from all 50 states, Washington, D.C., and every U.S. territory. Historically, they had a lot of influence, since until the 70s, most states did not hold primaries or caucuses. Delegates just chose the presidential nominee at the convention. Now the American people are a lot more involved in the process, but delegates have not gone away. These days, delegates from each state still officially vote on the nominee at the convention, but they have to vote according to how certain candidates did in their state primaries. So what's the point of having them at all? Well, they also work to write and adopt a comprehensive party platform that highlights the priorities for the next 4 years. And that's your thing to know today. All right, thank you so much for listening today. We'll be back tomorrow with your news roundup for Friday and the weekend. Until then, have a great day.